This is the Cambridge Certificate in Advanced English Listening Test. Test 4. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You'll hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There'll now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You'll hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear part of a radio discussion about a football team. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
So is John Elliott a player you like to watch? I'm guessing he is.
Yes, he's excellent. Very technical, clever with the ball. He's good at passing the ball to the team's top goal scorers and setting them up to shoot. When he sees that final pass coming as he approaches the goal area, you get a lot of players who get there but then freeze and get erratic. But he's not one of them. So, if you can get him backing up the strikers, he can be the key player.
What about their new man, Danny Martinez? $7 million they paid for him. They've probably overpaid. Not very cautious, given that they've paid out this kind of cash before and it all went wrong, didn't it? They'll want to hang on to him come what may at that price.
Yes, well, it hasn't broken the bank, but they were overcharged for him. They probably thought he was a good investment. He's young. They can sell him on if things go wrong, for more money. They got their fingers burnt once over a similar deal, and they won't want it to happen again.
Now you'll hear the recording again.
So is John Elliott a player you like to watch? I'm guessing he is.
Yes, he's excellent. Very technical, clever with the ball. He's good at passing the ball to the team's top goal scorers and setting them up to shoot. When he sees that final pass coming as he approaches the goal area, you get a lot of players who get there but then freeze and get erratic. But he's not one of them. So, if you can get him backing up the strikers, he can be the key player.
What about their new man, Danny Martinez? $7 million they paid for him. They've probably overpaid. Not very cautious, given that they've paid out this kind of cash before and it all went wrong, didn't it? They'll want to hang on to him come what may at that price.
Yes, well, it hasn't broken the bank, but they were overcharged for him. They probably thought he was a good investment. He's young. They can sell him on if things go wrong, for more money. They got their fingers burnt once over a similar deal, and they won't want it to happen again.
Extract 2. You hear part of a radio interview with Dina Karikond, who has just won a prize for her environmental work in South America. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
Congratulations, Dina.
Thanks very much.
Were you surprised to win?
Completely.
Well, now you're trying to save a wildlife habitat that stretches 3,000 kilometres along the coast of South America. Aren't you daunted by that?
It's a huge task, but we're basically getting the message out. The local fish population, mainly anchovies, are being forced into colder water because the sea's warming up. Of those left, 85% are being scooped up by industrial fishing trawlers. So predators like seals, penguins, and dolphins, and local fishermen, are left with very little. Now, this is the richest ecosystem in the world. If it's starting to be affected, you know there must be a tremendous impact on other less robust systems.
So what's your relationship like with local fishermen?
Oh, they used to regard me as an enemy because I used to work for seals. And as you know, fishermen and seals compete for the same fish. But now they see me as an ally trying to control industrial fishing.
What? Stopping them scooping up anchovies?
Not stopping them, but getting them to catch less, which means the local fishermen can catch more of the large fish that feed on the anchovies.
Now you'll hear the recording again.
Congratulations, Dina.
Thanks very much.
Were you surprised to win?
Completely.
Well, now you're trying to save a wildlife habitat that stretches 3,000 kilometres along the coast of South America. Aren't you daunted by that?
It's a huge task, but we're basically getting the message out. The local fish population, mainly anchovies, are being forced into colder water because the sea's warming up. Of those left, 85% are being scooped up by industrial fishing trawlers, so predators like seals, penguins, and dolphins, and local fishermen, are left with very little. Now, this is the richest ecosystem in the world. If it's starting to be affected, you know there must be a tremendous impact on other less robust systems.
So what's your relationship like with local fishermen?
Oh, they used to regard me as an enemy because I used to work for seals, and as you know, fishermen and seals compete for the same fish. But now they see me as an ally trying to control industrial fishing.
What? Stopping them scooping up anchovies?
Not stopping them, but getting them to catch less, which means the local fishermen can catch more of the large fish that feed on the anchovies.
Extract 3. You hear part of a radio program about books and reading. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
Today we're talking about books that have inspired us, books that have made a difference to our lives. Each of my studio guests has chosen what for them was an important book, and first off, we're going to hear about Monica Nairn's choice. Monica.
Thanks, Neil. Well, the thing about this book is that when I first discovered it in my late teens, it was a birthday present, if I remember correctly, I'd never really read anything like it before. I'd heard about it from a friend, and I'd got the idea it was something special, and so I asked for it specifically. I think I was about 17, so I was a fairly late developer as a reader. I hadn't been particularly interested up till then, but it suddenly sort of took a grip. I think it was the strangeness of that book. I mean, it's the one I'd take with me to a desert island, because it's just got everything in it. And it just opened me up to what pleasures there are in description, in narrative, you know, in ideas.
Well, we'll discover exactly which book my next guest has chosen to start.
Now you'll hear the recording again.
Today we're talking about books that have inspired us, books that have made a difference to our lives. Each of my studio guests has chosen what for them was an important book, and first off, we're going to hear about Monica Nairn's choice. Monica.
Thanks, Neil. Well, the thing about this book is that when I first discovered it in my late teens, it was a birthday present, if I remember correctly, I'd never really read anything like it before. I'd heard about it from a friend, and I'd got the idea it was something special, and so I asked for it specifically. I think I was about 17, so I was a fairly late developer as a reader. I hadn't been particularly interested up till then, but it suddenly sort of took a grip. I think it was the strangeness of that book. I mean, it's the one I'd take with me to a desert island, because it's just got everything in it. And it just opened me up to what pleasures there are in description, in narrative, you know, in ideas.
Well, we'll discover exactly which book my next guest has chosen to start.
That's the end of part one. Now turn to part two.